We have live music today. A couple brothers are here. I can't wait to get to know them a little bit more, but first we're going to let you hear them. Ladies and gentlemen, the Brothers Jenkins. Wow, that was a great song. Corey, I'm going to start with you. You've got one heck of a voice. I was thinking that from the very first note, but then when you started belting out there towards the end, and you really control your voice well too, which is terrific. Tell me about yourself. I like to learn about people's childhoods just because it's fun, and both of you are probably going to share a little bit of a common childhood, I would guess. Tell us, I guess, both of you about growing up. Where are you from originally?
We grew up in the I'm Eddie, by the way. We grew up in the Greenfield, Hazelwood area. So my father grew up in Hazelwood. My mother grew up in Greenfield. Upper Greenfield. And we lived there for about 20 years. Went to St. Pete's Elementary School.
Then Central
Catholic and Allegheny College. We actually both
went to Allegheny
went
College.
To the same school. So we just,
wow.
From beginning to end.
Yeah. You guys are like making up for me and my two brothers who
really?
All diverged when it came time. one to Chicago, one to Boston, one me staying in Pittsburgh. And you guys are a good example of brothers.
No, yeah, we're
can get along well.
Best friends almost. Yeah. It's like I consider.
He's been 2 years older than me my entire life, so all of his friends were basically my friends
yeah.
growing up, and he was actually 3 years older than me in school. So he was a senior when I was a freshman. So I went to Central, and then when he was up at Allegheny, I'd go visit him in Allegheny and found out that's the school that I ended up wanting to go to just because I liked it so much.
So he's blazing the trail for
exactly.
you.
I was the guinea pig.
And yeah. then you get payback because every class you probably ever took, you were the teacher would immediately put the imprint.
Yeah,
Eddie, you know, Eddie was like this. He yeah. probably got called Eddie a few times too because you guys look alike.
Just, they just yelled Jenkins. It's just a blank canvas, I guess. Yeah.
So but, when did you start playing together?
Well, my father, he's Ed as well. He was always in a cover band when I was a little kid. So anything that you hear on DVE, he'd primarily play like Bob Seger. He sounds just like Bob Seger. So growing up,
what band?
Well, he was in a bunch. So he was in Stranger in the 70s. He was in Take Two,
Rush Hour.
Just and now it's funny. Our side project is I play bass and he plays drums with my father because his band kind of dissolved and we play
Eddie and the Bruisers,
kind of like Eddie and the Cruisers. So, but we do that pretty much every weekend. And he was just a big impression on us because we always had guitars around the house. He always fostered music and creativity and wanted us to learn, you know, the instruments and play whatever we wanted. So anything from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, to Cat Stevens, to U2, to, I don't know, Seeger, Stones.
Yeah.
Mom was a big Fleetwood Mac, David Bowie fan.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah. So just That's everything, great. Anything and everything.
So did he teach you to play?
So when I first wanted to start playing guitar, it's the guitar I play now. I saw this Fender Telecaster that he had, and I loved it. I always wanted to play it. And he said, you're not allowed until you figure out how to play acoustic. It's because it's harder to play.
Yeah,
strings are tougher. And then so I went from acoustic to electric, and then you actually started playing drums first.
Yes. He didn't really want me to get drums at first because, you know, they're a loud instrument. So he's just like, I don't need that Buddy Rich stuff going on in the basement all night.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But he eventually caved, and we got him when I was in eighth grade, and I learned how to play drums in like 4 days for like a cover band for some assembly thing in grade school. And then I started singing like a couple weeks after that, and then I stopped playing the drum. Well, I'm still playing the drums, but focus more on playing the guitar and singing.
Yeah.
What was the name of the song you opened with?
Swingin'.
Yeah, it's a brand new song. We actually have a CD that's been out. We recorded it in 2012, put it out by ourselves in 2014. And we've been playing the songs a lot, but we're in the process of, we have about 20 new songs, and we just, whenever we play them out, people are like, oh, I want to have that song on CD or vinyl or MP3, and we haven't gotten around to recording it yet. So whenever you see us, we'll play a couple songs from the original album, but I think today the primary songs are going to be newer stuff. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Now, tell me about how these songs come together. Do you write together? Or?
Well, usually I'll be sitting around playing a little rhythm and singing about something either from my life or a relationship that I've been in or a relationship that my friend has been in, or find a story within there and then just, you know, jot down lyrics and I'll go like, Ege, what do you think of this? And then we'll start writing the song together full swing, so he'll put his lead parts on, and then we actually have two more members in the band. We have Scott Zolmansky and Scott Lewis. Scott Zolmansky plays bass and Scott Lewis plays drums.
Two Scotts, two Jenkins.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to remember.
So we pretty much come up with the foundation of the song, and then when we have band practice, we'll bring them all into it.
Yeah, we'll go from there. Yeah. I mean, when Corey's writing his songs, he'll come over and he's like, don't get mad. These are the chords I just wrote them to. So it's just like a GCD progression. I'm just like, well, we're going to change that a little bit. But yeah, just to make it a little bit.
I'm a drummer at first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then, yeah, we'll go from there. But it's really nice because we live together as well. So we're kind of spoiled. So he could be, you know, singing in the shower, come out, and then he'll say, I have this song.
Yeah,
you know,
2 o'clock in the morning, wake up.
Yeah, wake me up, and, you know, I have this idea for a song. So it's like instant creating with
that's,
the three of us.
You know, that's pretty remarkable to do that with anybody, let alone your brother, I think. Do you guys know any brothers that are as close as you are in terms of songwriting and performing?
I mean,
the Gaffney brothers.
The Gaffney brothers from high school, yeah.
Yeah.
Buddies,
yeah.
The Carson brothers. There were actually, it was two twin brothers in the same band.
Wow.
Yeah, but Are they still playing together? I don't know if they're still playing
they
together.
Are. I don't think they are, but I'm in high school. I mean, that's as far back as
we're standing the test of time, I guess.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. You guys are – I don't want to jinx it.
No, no. Yeah. You know, it's crazy. People are like, don't get in business with your, you know, friends or family, and I wouldn't want to have it any other way. Like, when you get into a band with somebody, it's kind of like a marriage.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. You know, Scott Zelmansky, I've known him since high school, and we've just got along before we were bandmates, so – we're all kind of brothers, so it's just – it's really nice that I can have someone as close as I am with
Corey.
Yeah,
it's a really intimate thing.
Yeah, sure.
And you really need to be able to read each other and understand one another, be pretty honest with each other.
Oh, yeah. Brutally honest sometimes. Yeah.
There's been fights.
Yeah.
Oh.
Every good band has fights, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
The Brothers Jenkins are here with us. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you for coming on a holiday weekend, too.
Thank you for having us.
Already had a positive response from Craig listening in Macon, Georgia. I noticed Larry in Elwood City checked in. What would you like to play next?
This is a softer song. It's you want to introduce it? It's called 4618. It's our old address. Of the house that we grew up in.
4618, the Brothers Jenkins.
Protected soul.
You've got me right where you want me. I'm the best you'll ever know.
The Brothers Jenkins. What a great sound you guys have. Now, you mentioned a CD you mastered and or recorded some time ago that's going to be available soon. I don't know if it's available.
Well, no, it's available now.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So.
Oh, right. You said it came out in 2014.
Yeah, 2014. So, yeah, we did it ourselves. It's a kind of a funny story. Corey, on the side, he paints, and my mom's a real estate agent. We live in a housing development, so two doors down.
That's a good combination.
Right?
That's like an integrated business. Yeah. She gets more on her listings, because I know this good painter that can – I'm assuming I'm jumping.
No.
I'm pretty good.
Yeah, you're not on canvas. You're on a
– okay. Michelangelo of houses, right? Yeah. but no, so there was a house two doors down in our housing development, and we're all connected, and it's a very similar setup to our house, and there was nothing in it.
Now, you're still in Greenfield now?
No, we actually
live on Collier now.
2006 or 7, we moved out to Collier Township, closer towards the airport. Excuse me. And Corey's like, I have a great idea. We have all these songs. Let's record in this house that I'm painting. And so we kind of just took it over and made it our master studio. So
the
bedroom,
moving blankets,
yeah.
You know.
The walk-in closet was our vocal booth. We just hung a moving blanket.
That's great, actually.
Yeah, we have all the equipment from my dad, so it was just, easy setup. So,
Does the house get a credit on the album?
It does, yeah, it does. Our drummer at the time wasn't our drummer. He was he just wanted to record us, and he was just like, oh, I know you're going around, and you guys don't have that much money. I'll record you guys for nothing. He and I worked at the Apple Store together, and I was certified in Final Cut Pro, and he was certified in Logic. So he was like, I know Logic really well. I can just record it. I said, what do you want? He said, case of Pabst Blue Ribbon. Cheapest recording ever. Right?
Yeah, that's something. PBR is becoming a designer beer. We were talking about that over the holidays, actually. Suddenly it's in demand.
It is. Yeah.
30 rack.
So it was a 30 rack we gave him. And we recorded over, I want to say, like two weeks, just 1 pound on the wall from an extra neighbor. That was it as far as noise violation goes. But and then we mastered it over the course of the year because everybody was working. So it was just very DIY. And I'm pretty proud of how it sounds.
Yeah.
I think sometimes that's the best way. I mean, a good producer can really help you too, but it all depends on what you're looking for. And then you're hoping to get some of the songs. Well, the two you've played so far are not on that release,
the brand's
right?
Spanking. Yeah.
So hopefully you'll have a new album coming out soon.
Yeah. The plan is to record over Christmas, the winter months, and then hopefully have something out by third quarter. 2017.
Are you going to use the same approach again, do you think?
I think we'll probably want to go into a studio this time around.
Might be good.
Give it a go.
I mean, it was fun.
Experience.
Like I said, when we first started, we really didn't have that much cash, So
not to say we have a lot of cash now.
No.
but no, to do it in the studio would probably be better.
Yeah.
That's a good experience.
Because, yeah, just to get the experience to do it.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know how it was with the recording you've done, but Did you have trouble figuring out when it was done?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, we did.
Yeah. It was many car rides, different speaker systems.
And plus, when we were first recording, it was just supposed to be us acoustic. And our drummer who was recording us was just like, this song could use drums. This song could use drums. Could I play drums? And we were like, yes, you can play drums. That would be great.
And here's the funny thing about him. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records for, I want to say, the fastest drum beat.
Oh, is it the fastest foot?
It was the fastest. What was it?
It's the shortest song.
Yeah, shortest song. So he's in a heavy metal band in the 90s called Brutal Truth, and he was one of the founders of the blast beat, very heavy. And when he was recording us, I'm like, this is kind of soft. I don't know how he's going to like it. And he's like, I love it. I really want to play with you guys. I want to record you guys.
This is your current drummer.
This is our current drummer.
Scott.
Yeah, Scott.
One of the Scotts.
Scott Lewis.
One of the Scotts.
Yeah. It's so easy.
Yeah. But this is a guy who toured the world and, played the Palladium in Los Angeles and CBGBs and its height in the 80s and 90s. And For him to say, "I really like your sound. I want to play in your band," it was kind of like, "Oh, we're doing the right thing."
Is he a native Pittsburgher?
Actually, he was born and bred in Queens, New York. So, and then he was a transplant. I want to say in the '90s when the band broke up. So, or when he left Brutal Truth. I'm sorry, but yeah, I met him at the Apple Store, and the rest is history. Yeah.
That's something. Well, yeah. And I would think, I mean, one of the advantages to being in a studio is you've got the constraint of studio time and money, and then if you've got an engineer or producer you're working with, they can help you put it to bed and say enough's enough. I think when you're doing your own work, sometimes you just...
Yeah, the painting's never finished, it feels like. Yeah. You can work on it forever.
I think we had like 15 or 16 songs on the album before. But I think we had 15 or 16 songs on the album before we finished it. And then we were like, we got to take at least a couple of these off. These ones aren't going to make it. This one's not going to do that. We ended up with 11, though.
Yeah, and that was like re-recording certain songs. And, you know, you're absolutely right. Both he and I went to school for filmmaking. And in this day and age when it's digital media, you know, you can, you know, and I do wedding videography and photography as well. But whenever you're taking pictures with a digital camera or doing something with Logic or something, you have the tendency to take as long as you want
exactly.
or take as many pictures as you want. Whereas, like, I wish I would have learned how to do movies on film, because it's an obstruction that I feel like breeds, the importance of getting stuff done at a certain deadline you know, making your shot perfect. Whereas, like, with digital, you can just do as many takes as you want.
Yeah, one of my favorite editing sessions back in radio's older days, and I'm going back almost 40 years ago, is we were broadcasting. It was during an NFL strike, and it was probably the early 80s. We could probably look up where the NFL strike was, so it's more like 30 years ago. And the radio station was carrying the Grey Cup from Canada to counter program. It's like, there's no NFL. We're going to play the Canadian Football League Championship just for fun. And it was kind of a quirky thing. But because we were public radio, we had to replace the 30-second and 1-minute commercials in that feed from Canada with our own material. And we were editing those things on reel-to-reel tape with razor blades and grease pencils and splicing tape. And it was like, okay, we got one. We're going to need one in 20 minutes. Let's make it, you know, voice it, record it, mix it, edit it, publish it. And if it wasn't done on time, you would have dead air.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, when I first went to Allegheny, we had a there was reel to reel stuff there. I mean, prior to me getting there and them switching over to, this is, I want to say 2005, them switching over to Final Cut Pro and everything, they had people were shooting movies on like VHS tapes and, you know, shooting it in camera and all that stuff like that. So I don't know. It's the dawn of digital technology. It's nice because you can take your time and do whatever you want, do it as long as you want to, but I feel like the raw. I would like to go on a reel to reel and record our songs, but that's just super expensive in this day and age.
It gets
like
hard.
On a need board or something like that, you know.
Yeah, at work when it's digital, it's fascinating. It's so fascinating. You could watch it for hours and hours and hours and hours and never let go of it.
Yeah.
Did you study filmmaking too?
I did. He was actually a psychology major, and his minor was communications. And he was like, "You should check out Professor Keeley and River Branch's classes up at Allegheny." And this professor who did the communications department ended up being my
mentor, advisor.
Advisor, yeah.
Ding, ding, I got a point.
For freshman seminar, and I really enjoyed him and his classes, so I ended up just kind of following in that, because me and EJ always used to, you know, talk about movies, watch movies.
Oh, we've been watching movies since,
I was in a couple of his movies before I even got to Allegheny, so I was just like, this could be a lot of fun.
I didn't know you could do film there.
Yeah. Neither did I until I was a junior, and I was like, this is here? Like, this is incredible.
So, I always think of environment, chemistry, those kinds of subjects.
It's big for medicine, so like bio, chem, all that stuff like that. So, here's how like forgotten it was in the basement of the history building, so it was just like this forgotten thing, and then our class kind of reinvigorated the study, and they got an endowment from NRED Dell, and they built like a $1 billion facility. So when I graduated, he actually got to use it.
The nice building.
I never got to use it. But yeah, it was great. It was great.
That's fantastic. The brothers Jenkins are who you're listening to, Eddie and Corey. We'll talk a little bit about where they're playing and how you can catch them and how you can follow their work after the next song. What would you boys like to do next?
We're going to do a song off the album. It's called Night at the Lanes.
Say to show you everything that I buried away in my heart, hidden beneath the bottom shelf in that little box for no one to see but me. He planning out that perfect opportunity. So what could I do? What could I say to show that special someone how I feel? How about candlelight and a dinner for two? A fancy restaurant with the greatest view. And I know someday I will have you. Even if it costs an arm and a leg. So what could I do? What could I say to show you how much I really care? How about the greatest love song written in your name? The only problem is there aren't enough words to describe how much I care about you. This one's for you to show you how much I love you. From head to toe, eyes to mouth, you mold your personality. The way you laugh, the way you cry, the way we talk every night. Please take my hand, be my love, my life. And this one be the last song I sing to you. And this one be the last song I write for you. And this one be the last song I sing to you.
Brothers Jenkins at the Saturday Light Brigade. A Becky Urbanik writes, somebody must know Becky. I think it's Eddie that knows Becky. That's your girlfriend. Oh, here she is. She's doing this thing with her eyes on her Facebook profile. Oh, my goodness. Have you seen this? It's really pretty wild. But she just wrote on Facebook, I need to be careful not to just read her profile, not because there's anything wrong with it, but it's not very interesting radio. She writes that you guys love these guys, she writes. Love these guys. So, and then Eric Scioli, you guys know?
Scioli.
Or
yeah.
Scioli.
Yeah.
Eric Scioli writes, Corey and Eddie, you guys sound awesome. Who's Eric?
Eric and Anthony are two guys we usually play with. They're in a band called 7 Minutes of February.
Now Tangent.
Now Tangent. My fault. Yeah, sorry, guys, if you're listening.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And
originally 7 Minutes of February, Now Tangent.
If you guys feel free to, you can text us. I'll give you our our number in a moment, or post something on Facebook at SLB Radio, or text us at 412-200-5975, and we'll pass the message along. 412-200-5975. I took a peek at your Facebook page, which we linked to, and it looks like you might not have – do you have much coming up?
We do, actually. Good, good. Just haven't posted it yet. It's, our next show is actually December 16th at Howler's in Bloomfield.
And excellent.
We're actually playing with John.
John Binley.
Oh, great. Yeah. John, our own John Binley, Binley Hardware Company. And that sounds like a is that a Friday night?
Hang I'm on. Not sure. Let me
wait,
check.
What's the date again?
16th.
I'll get it for you. The 16th. I'm almost positive that's a Friday. It is. Friday the 16th at Howler's. That should be a great show. You'll get to hear John Binley, who is manager of the Youth Express program here. And it is kind of interesting. These guys have known two of our staff members.
Since Lincoln since, died. Yeah.
Yeah, for a long time. And I just, there's all sorts of stories I would love to know about them.
Sure.
I know a lot of John's early stories. Tad, can only imagine what Tad Whistle, staff educator Tad Whistle, was like as a kindergartner.
Well, I'll know what much I can say on the air.
Yeah.
But I met Tad when I was in kindergarten, and we hit it off so much so that we were kind of inseparable. And my parents, like, there were certain people who were allowed to sleep over my house. Like, Tad wasn't one of them. Just because when we got together, like, we just, they were like, he's fine, but he's got to go home, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But he had, his father, when we were younger, lived in Imperial, out by where I live now in Oakdale. And he had this huge farm, and we'd go out there, and I know we had a great time.
They had to have that for Tad, so he had room to run around.
Yeah, just run around, go nuts. but no, he's a great guy. Great guy, local celebrity now with the
ultimate.
Yeah.
The ultimate.
Yeah, I went to an ultimate game, and there were like people coming up to him and asking for his autograph, and there's a bobblehead with his like his face and his number, and I was just like, Tad, this is the crazy. I'm so happy for him. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's fun to see that happen.
Yeah.
That's the Pittsburgh Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
Team. Although he's aging out of those leagues now as he gets
That's what he says, but I'm sure he could play for another 10 years.
Oh, I think so.
He's got it in him.
Yeah.
People a lot older playing. So look for that show, Binley Hardware Company. Again, it's December 16th
at
Howler's. And you can follow these guys on Facebook. It's just the Brothers Jenkins, mm-hmm. easy enough to get to. They're going to do a couple more songs, I think. Two more.
Yeah.
And what would you like to do next?
This is actually
a new.
Yeah,
new,
this
new.
Is probably the new first new. Time we've ever played it.
Oh.
Live, so. So you heard it here first on the Saturday Night Light Brigade. Actually, it's so new, we really don't have a title for it. So this is the untitled new track.
New track.
Can you feel it? It's burning you up.
guys sound great. Get that one a name soon. And Corey, you really are a good singer. When did you discover you'd like to sing?
When I was in...
Can I show him the song really quick? We'll do the first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You've got time. I like Eddie, I could tell. Now, wait, you're the older brother.
I'm the older brother, yeah. But people actually think I'm the younger brother, which is fine. Do I look younger?
Well, a little, but...
What would you say, Ricky? Do I look younger or older? You think
older.
I'm older? Okay.
See, you had and I can say this as a younger brother, sort of the impish glee of wanting to... like embarrass an older brother
or
tell a story about an older brother. I don't know if it's embarrassing necessarily.
No. I guess I'm just, I don't know.
But you were going to say singing?
Okay, so when I was in eighth grade, I wanted to do a talent show, and it was the first time I was ever going to sing a song, and like no one really knew I sang. I didn't really know that I could sing.
Oh, wow.
So I covered...
not at Central Catholic.
St. Pete's Elementary School. And I decided to sing Black by Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
And it was like kind of a... he belts a little bit at the end. Mm-hmm. So it was like a softer song throughout the whole thing. But like I was really like trying to see if I could do it. And then we did the belting and got a standing ovation, and I never stopped singing since then.
Well, for me, like when we were in high school, we had this band called A Far Cry, and it was actually when Scott Zelminski, the bass player, joined our band. We had another guitar player, Evan Thorson. He went to Central with us. He's in an amazing metal band in Pittsburgh now. They're called Greywalker. Anybody who's listening needs to check them out. They're great. But they, we were all playing instruments. So he was playing drums, I was playing guitar, Evan was playing guitar, Scott was playing bass, and no one sang. And we were like, it was just like instrumental. I'm like, so who's going to sing? And nobody wanted to sing. So we were actually at a bar, and I was just like, our cousin Johanna wants us to play this song. You want to, just the first line really quick. So we did this, and as soon as I heard him sing, I was like, okay, you're our lead singer. So it was like.
And Charlie's on a vacation ship far away.
So when I heard him do that, I was just like, yeah, there's no way that I'm singing. You can be Diana Ross, I'll be the Supremes.
That's how did you figure out you could do that?
I just started yelling. Yeah. And it just started working, I guess.
Do you like to sing?
I was in the choir since, I want to say, first grade until I was a senior in college. So I'm more of an X's and O's arrangement harmonist kind of guy. But Corey... he's definitely the soloist, so I follow his lead.
Well,
sure.
And you're I think you're probably the more intricate guitar player.
Yeah.
And I hear a lot of rhythm, and Corey probably based on your drum experience too. So you two really fit very well together.
Yeah.
So December 16th, look at them, two brothers, at Howler's, the next date with Binley Hardware Company. Facebook, just look for the brothers Jenkins on Facebook.
Yes.
And you've got one more. It's our last chance to talk. Any elaborate collection of guitar pins. We did not.
Oh, well, this is my. Yeah, so.
This is Eddie has a rather elaborate hook on his guitar strap, maybe 8-9 pins there.
This is my father's guitar strap. Yeah, there's actually more.
Oh, my gosh. There's quite a bit.
So he's with us in spirit. My dad's very of a. I don't know. Whenever I was young, I saw him junk up guitars with stickers and pins and everything, and it just wasn't really my style. But I figured today, because he was such an influential person on us, I'd wear his guitar strap because he taught us how to play instruments. But it's like everybody who travels all over the world, they go to a Hard Rock Cafe, so there's stuff from Russia.
Oh, yeah.
Anchorage, Kuala Lumpur. I mean, everything.
Those are sometimes bigger in other countries, too.
They're
in fact,
huge. Yeah.
I was visited by a Russian delegation a couple years ago, and they were giving me these pins, and I felt bad. I didn't have any pins to give back, and I also could not read anything on the pins, but I nodded and took them, and they're in a drawer somewhere where they've remained ever since.
No, the last thing I want to say is I just really appreciate you and Ricky for having us today. It was a real privilege
and
pleasure.
Yes, thank you very much.
I wish we knew about this earlier, we'd be back. So
we'll have you come back. Ricky, peel those stickers off their guitar cases that we put on there. What do you want to finish up with?
This is actually the closer for all of our shows. It's called It's Not the Years, Honey, It's the Mileage. So here we go.
You can count on on all those people that you think are your friends, when all you really need is someone you can depend on. And it all makes sense. What was wrong is right again. You don't honestly wanna end up like me. Now wake from my slumber, only develop a little hunger. Love is only a joy, and it all makes sense. What was wrong is right again. You don't honestly wanna end up like me. Interest. I'll just keep on singing songs till that someone someday sings along, and it all makes sense. What was wrong is right again. You don't honestly wanna end up, and it all makes sense. What was wrong?
The Brothers Jenkins, thank you for being with us.
Thank you again for
having us. It was all a pleasure, man.